There is none like you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Receive our praise and our worship unto yourself, Lord. Let it be a sweet smell and a sweet savor, and let it cause a glow in your face and in your heart towards us this morning. We're hungry and we're thirsty for you. We want you to know that right off the bat, first thing, that we're here to worship you and to serve you and to listen to you this morning. We yield our hearts and our ears intently to you today, and we also intend to be fed. So by faith, we're full. By faith, we're better. We will not leave here the same in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. We're getting settled. All right, you have your Bibles this morning?
Yeah.
Well, that was one. We'll see if you're intently listening or not. We'll check and see how intense you are. I'm going to school you. Praise the Lord. Before we begin, I want to read a word from God to Richard. He wanted me to share with you this morning. And you will see this goes along with our message. I agree that it's a word in time and in due season. The word that Richard heard and wrote down says, beware the media. Now, as you all understand, the media is not to be believed. The word is to be believed, not the media. Beware the media, for I see that they are trying to instigate a worldwide panic. Do not be afraid, nor be caught up in the panic that is to come. We're not to be caught up in anybody's fear or panic, right? They will tell you of dirty bombs and nuclear attacks, but I say that I will shield you and provide for you. Stand fast in your faith. Do not store up for yourselves, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all that you have need of, and I will provide. Be wise as serpents, yet gentle as doves. Now, does that sound like a word from the Lord?
Yes, it does.
All right, then you receive that, right? All right. We are not to fear, and we are not to let others cause us to fear. Even churches, for some strange reason, are trying to teach right now, some churches, not all, that there's only one country that God's really interested in, and that's Israel. I don't understand that. It's not the truth. The Bible says that God's not a respecter of persons. That's true, but this is what it really means. I respect mine. I don't respect any others.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yes.
I respect mine. God would tell everyone here, God respect. I will respect my children. I don't worry about the geographical location. I'll take care of you. Praise the Lord. We've been very fortunate and blessed to be born in the United States or living in the United States. And God's hand's still on this country. Let's see. The liberals would have us believe that not to be true. And if you're a liberal, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. God is a conservative God. He's not a liberal God. He draws down rules, regulations, and he sticks with it. And he doesn't bend them for Fruit Loops, whoever that may be. Is that honest enough? I don't know why we think that God is like us. He's not. We're to be like him. We're to be transported and changed from our image into his image. And that is not liberalism. That is not anything goes, and everybody has the right to do what they want to do. That would be a liberal stand. It is also a dangerous stand. It's why we have an epidemic of AIDS and cancer and all kinds of things, because it's anti-Christ. And when you choose a life of anti-Christ, you choose the blessings of anti-Christ or the curses. So we must stay away from that. I cannot believe in this campaign, this political campaign I'm hearing, both local and especially national news, how the liberal agenda is being pushed. I don't care what somebody wrote into the news channel, I believe it was Channel 9. They're the ones that are doing the comparisons of the candidates. And they complimented them on the comparisons of the candidates. But they said, I give you D in broadcasting because you find out the lies in the campaigns, and yet you still allow them to pay you to run the ads. And so that makes you part of the lie.
Yes, that's right.
And I thought, there's a person that's hearing from God. The best ad out there is Bob Bropay, standing, I don't care what his name is, another Bob. He's standing out behind the horse and he smells something. He said, I smell that. It must be politics. Praise the Lord. Not in campaigns, but But praise the Lord that we can always stand on the truth. And if you ask God, He's not going to tell you to be liberal. He's going to tell you to vote conservative, no matter what. Vote for somebody that's standing for something. All right. Get your Bibles and stand with me. Turn to the book of Luke. Now, I understand in political campaigns, it's hard to find anybody standing for anything except for themselves. But just do the best you can by God's hand. You know what? You have such power and authority with the God of God and the King of Kings that you can actually vote for the wrong person and God can change that person and make him do good.
That's right.
So you do the best you can in your voting process and then believe that God will work that man. Work him till he sweats. I should have brought, no, I didn't find the music, did I? All right. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 47. Speaking of Jesus, and he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do. For all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, Father, we ask you to take this word as we open it and break bread together today in communion with you, that you cleanse us and purify us and wash away us and draw that spirit man close to you so it becomes strong and fed and clear thinking, motivated for the kingdom of the living God. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'm going to read one more time, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Anybody in their life ever thought that somebody was trying to destroy you? Now I'm going to give you the remedy, short and sweet. They could not find something to do. They didn't know how to do it. They couldn't find a way to do it because why? For all the people were very attentive or intense to hear. The title of the message, and I'll give you two again, Salvation is for those that listen. God is speaking if we are listening. Now I see double protection in this thing. I see protection of the people, and I see protection of the one delivering the message because the people were intense to hear. I think God spoke to me very clearly this morning about how I need to talk to you about even Connie this morning. She talked about the hoopla that's going on around us. We get involved in it, and we become involved in the intensiveness of nothing. Do you understand that? We get intent over nothing, and yet the very thing we should be intent over, hearing from God, we tune Him out because everything else overrides His voice. The Scripture says that they were protected. Nobody could find a weapon against them because they were intent to hear. Do you think Jesus was intent or intense to hear? We talked about that last Sunday. Even in the crowds, He pulled away from the crowd so He could go talk to the Father. Now I want you to flip over to Numbers, and I'm going to begin to read this in the Living Bible, which I don't usually do, and about in the middle of it, I'm going to turn back to the New King James. But if you'll turn to me with Numbers, turn with me to Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. And if you're going to make an outline, I'm going to go about from A to J or somewhere in that area. So A, after reading the first set of Scripture, the New Testament is our protection and our deliverance, our daily salvation, comes from seriously listening. If you want to be safe, the only way to be safe is to be in an intense listening position. Now, y'all can wave your heads at me and say yes and amen all you want to, but I'm looking at me and my wife and everybody else in this place and telling you we fail miserably. Miserably. We do not concentrate on the voice of God. About 12, 14 hours a day, we concentrate on business, whatever funny business that is. When in reality, 24 hours a day, we should be on the edge of our listening seats expecting to hear from God. Our problem is that we draw boundaries and pictures of how God's voice comes, what it sounds like, who He speaks through, when in reality, He speaks from a lot of different directions.
Yes,
we just don't hear. Our ears are designed to hear multi-directional. Not like a dog or a mule will return, but I can tell where somebody's behind me or beside me or in front of me. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I should be intent to Him. By the way, do you understand part of hearing is seeing? Sensing, part of hearing is all of our senses. Okay, let's look into this a little bit. Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. The people of Israel, now this is the story setting, okay? The people of Israel now traveled to the plains of Moab and camped east of the Jordan River opposite of Jericho. When King Balak of Moab, the son of Zippor, realized how many of them were there, when it dawned on him how many there were, it's kind of like us waking up about how many illegal aliens there are in the United States, when we finally open our eyes and find out that we're in trouble, this is what we said. And when he learned what they had done to the Amorites, he and his people were terrified. They quickly consulted, in verse 4, with the leaders of Midian. And this is what they said, "This mob will eat us like an ox eats grass." Now here's the thing that you and I, I'm going to get to B now. Here's the thing that you and I need to realize. In both of these texts, seen or unseen, there's always a problem trying to destroy us. The biggest fool around is a Christian that thinks there's no war. Okay? I didn't say a Christian that thinks they're about to go under. That is a big fool. I'm telling you, a Christian that thinks that because I won this last battle, there's not a next battle, is fooling himself. Yes. Seen or unseen, there's always a problem trying to destroy us. And seen or unseen, God has a protection if we are listening. Why did this last thing happen to me? I can promise you it's because we weren't listening. Or God would have told us. By the way, do you think that God, that the problems slip up on God? He doesn't wake up one day and say, "Ooh, I didn't see that one coming." So he already knows about problems even before they raise their heads, right? So as a friend, God's a friend. As a parent, God's a parent. As a lover of my soul, God would visit me before the attack and tell me about the attack to come and tell me how to handle it if I would only practice listening. Okay, let's go on. In verse 5, "So King Balak sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, who was living in the land, a native land of Pethor, near the Euphrates River. He begged Balaam to come and help him." He begged Balaam to come and help him. So evidently, he knew something about Balaam, right? Wonder what he knew. Evidently, he heard from God once in a while. Now, if we go back and study Balaam, we understand that he was a knucklehead. We understand that he kind of practiced both sides of the fence. You understand that? He heard from God, and he spoke for God once in a while. And that's where he got this reputation, but he also practiced divination. Now, why? Because he could hear, but he couldn't fully hear. We've met a guy like that, remember? We had him in our midst for a while, heard from both sides of the fence, but never would acknowledge that there was two sides that I could hear from. Do you understand everybody here can hear evil? If you don't understand that, you really are dense. I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk down to you, but you better understand that there are louder evil voices than there are good voices. If you don't believe that, turn on the TV, turn on the radio. You'll find out quickly. So he sent for Balaam to help him out of this situation. And this is what he told Balaam. "A vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth and are headed toward me. Please come and curse them for me. Please come and curse them for me, so that I can drive them out of the land, for I know what fantastic blessings fall on those whom you bless. And I also know that those whom you curse are doomed." Do you know that? Do you think God's a respecter of Balaam? Or do you think he's a respecter of his? So those things that you curse are cursed, and those things that you bless are blessed. Be cautious with the tongue. Listen carefully, speak carefully. So see, and I want to point out something here. Even the unbeliever believes in a higher power, sometimes more than we do. Now just put that down in stone, and as you listen and look at the earth, even the unbeliever believes in a higher power. The foolish unbeliever thinks its name is Mother Earth. Did you know that they believe that Mother Earth is more powerful than them? They hug a tree and kiss it because they think it has more power than them. They're still worshiping something that's above them, even though they would say there is no God. By the way, if you love Mother Earth, you are saying there is no God. Christians know, those children of God know, that Earth was put here for our use. And we have been given dominion over this Earth. And to say, call Mother, by the way, Mother was never your Earth, or Earth was never your Mother. Either that or you had an ugly mother. I'm telling you that. Unbelievers still believe in a higher power. In this case, we see they believed in a higher power more than most. Verse 7. The messengers he sent were some of the top leaders of Moab and Midian. They went to Balaam with money in their hand and urgently explained to him what Balak wanted. Balaam said, "Stay here overnight, and I'll tell you in the morning whatever the Lord directs me to say." So they stayed. Now, do you have the confidence that when you ask God for an answer, He's going to give you an answer, so much so that you'll tell somebody when that answer will be there? That was quiet. All right, D. If we want to hear, we must stop, then listen. We've got to give time for God to speak. A fool will believe that God will chase him down and speak to him while he's running. Does that mean you can't ever hear God's voice when you're working? No, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, if you hear God's voice, you best stop. If you want to hear God's voice, you better stop. And you better say, "I want to hear your voice. And I'm not going to hear any other voice until I hear yours." If we stop to listen, He'll be faithful to speak. Now, can you just stop for a minute and let that get inside of you? If you will stop to listen, He will be faithful to speak. You want me to say that again? If your intent is to hear, His intent is for you to hear. That's the way He designed. He didn't give you ears so you could listen to somebody nag, somebody warn, somebody threat. He gave you ears to hear Him. He gave you eyes to see Him. He gave you senses to feel Him. Not so you can feel Mother Earth. If I ever got dirt in my eyes, I never called her Mother Earth. Maybe a few other things. Be faithful to listen. He'll be faithful to speak. Verse 9. He said, "Wait, I'll talk to you in the morning." Verse 9. That night, God came to Balaam and asked him, "Who are these men?" Now, can I ask you something? Do you think God needed to have an introduction? Why would you, if this were the case, let me walk over here. If I walked up to you and said, "Who is this lady?" Do you think that I might be asking more than her name since you've already told me her name? You already told me her name, right? So why would I ask, "Who is she?" If you know that God is omnipresent, omniscient, He knows all, sees all, why would you expect God to come to you and say, "Who are these men?" He wants us to understand or listen or consider who I'm hanging around with. Do you know that God is not a jabberjaw? For those of you that I've kind of hounded on you a little bit, understand me. You'll never hear God talking. You'll never get wise talking. You'll only expose yourself. When you listen, you have the ability to retain and expose God. Yep. Who are these men? Verse 10, "They have come from King Balak of Moab," he replied. He didn't even consider that there might be something deeper than the question. Oh, these are the guys that King Balak sent. "The king says that a vast horde of people from Egypt has arrived at his border, and he wants me to go at once and curse them in hope that he can battle them successfully." Now, let me ask you something. A man that is known for hearing from God is now telling God what they want. Does there seem something wrong here? Now, I'm gonna propose to you something that affects us. Maybe not exactly the same, but we need to consider this. Do you think that Balaam wanted to go curse this bunch of people? Why? Money. Do you think money affects our hearing? Should it? But we have a perfect example here. Turn on the television and you're going to understand all of these preachers that want a new jet. They've got the brochure on their desk. They study that more than the Word. Why? They say, "God told me to tell you, Harry, it's time to give a $10,000 check. Because my hearing has been perverted by my desire." So when you desire to hear from God, you cannot have a desire that has a filter. You must place that desire to one side and go to God with no desire but to hear from God. I don't care how great your need is. I don't care how great your want is. It cannot be a filter on how you hear God. Even pain will be a filter on how you hear or speak to God. You need to put the pain to one side. That's how come God says, "Give me praise in all things." Because if you begin to praise, you'll put the pain to one side to praise. Now your ears get clear. Verse 11, "In the hope that he can battle them successfully." Verse 12, God says, "Don't do it." Now, if you can't catch anything else, you must understand so far that God's a man of few words. He didn't take 30 minutes to say, "Don't do it." He just said, don't do it. You are not to curse them, for I have blessed them. Now I'm going to interject another little thought process to you. Do you remember that God says what you bless on earth is blessed in heaven, what you curse on earth is cursed in heaven? I may have bent it a little bit, but that's what it says, right? God is saying, don't go against me. Why? God could just say, I'm not going to pay attention to you. But that's not the contract that he has with us. It's not the covenant that God has with us. He said, what you bless is blessed. What you curse is cursed. That's why you have to watch your tongue. But God can't come to him because he was pretty much intent to listen. How much? Well, because God said, don't do it. He didn't say words that would confuse the situation. Just plain and clear, don't do it. Therefore, God is not timid, and he's not hard to understand. You're just hard of hearing. You see, if I walk over to Bob right now and I say, don't do it, I can say, and he still heard me. I can mouth that simple statement and he can understand. I can wave a finger and he'll understand. Don't do it. God is not hard or timid. Hard to understand or timid.
Right.
Just hear. That's your responsibility. Verse 13. The next morning, Balaam told the men, go on home. The Lord won't let me do it. He got it right. Did you see that? He got it right. He heard. 14. So King Balak's ambassadors returned without him and reported his refusal. Balak, try it again. Uh-oh. Now we see the pattern of the enemy, don't we? He doesn't listen as well as you are supposed to. Did you hear what I said? The enemy never listens. All right, listen. This time, he sent a larger number of even more distinguished ambassadors than the former group. He sent more and more important. They came to Balaam with this message. King Balak pleads with you to come. Please, 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 please. Whether that be grandkids, kids, wife, or enemy. If it's please, 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 it's the enemy. Okay? Or you want to hear something fancier, then don't do it. If you've spoken, and the next thing you hear is please, 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 it's the enemy. Trying to take away your truth. Are you truth? Are you a liar in the house? Then when you speak, stand on it and operate on it. Are you a liar? Somebody comes to you and says, I've been saved since 1972, and they commit a sin by lying and stealing. They're the enemy.
Right.
Boom. Don't argue with me. It's just the way it is.
Right.
Here's what they said. King Balak pleads with you to come. He promises you great honors, plus any payment you ask. Name your own figure. Only come and curse these people for us. Well, God told me not to eat sweets, but he didn't see this piece of chocolate cake. I know God said, thou shalt not steal, but he didn't see this stack of money laying there nobody claims. That piece of jewelry that I don't see in anybody's ear, around anybody's neck. Verse 18, but Balaam replied, if he were to give me a palace filled with silver and gold, I could do nothing contrary to the command of the Lord my God. However, how come he didn't recognize that as quick as y'all just did? Verse 19, however, stay here tonight, so that I can find out whether the Lord will add anything to what he said before. All right, let's see what this is really saying. What it's really saying is, that's a lot of money. Let's see if God's changed his mind. Because he might need some more money. Now, come on. How many so-called prophets and Christians and charismatics and all this other stuff have you hung around and heard this very statement? How many times have you made this very statement? We should be intent on hearing, not changing God's mind. Do you understand that there's not a person that you've ever met, not you, not anybody in this entire world, that can change God's mind? When he said, don't do it, he meant, don't do it. All right. F, never let money or other temptations cause you to question God. He knows all. Why did I say he knows all? Because he knew how much money was going to be offered when he said, don't do it. He doesn't need to hear your second request. Oh, but God, I need some more money. Oh, that's a piece of information God didn't know. Oh, now God says, I can change my mind since I know you've told me that. Never let money or other temptations, that be people, places, or things, never let that cause you to question God. That's what this was. I'm going to go to you a second time just in case you didn't know it all. Just in case God didn't know it all. Okay. Who do we think we are? Now I'm going to go to the New King James. I felt like in the King James it was a little rugged to understand the whole picture. We got the picture now. Let's listen. Verse 20. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, listen to this. If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do. Now I want you to catch that, because most of the time when we read this story, we didn't catch this. I'm going to read it to you again. If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, and then I'll tell you what to do. If the men come to you and call you, now are we intent in listening? Are we intent in hearing what we want to hear? Watch this. 21. So Balaam rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. See anything wrong in this picture? What's wrong? Which was what? If they come and call. He got up so early, he didn't wait for them to come and call. He got up and saddled his donkey and said, let's go. And you know what else he said? God has given me permission. Did he tell him not to go? Did he say don't do it? What is you got an NIV. That's why I don't read the NIV. Because they changed the meaning. I read you the King James or the New King James. That's why I stick to that. I just read it to you. That's what the New King... Yeah. I was, but I just changed to the New King James because I wanted to get back to the... a little closer. I read the Living Bible so that you could understand the setting. Okay? Because when I read the King James and then the New King James, it was hard for me to understand exactly what happened. And so I figured the other one was a little more colorful or a little more explanative about Balak and Balaam and who was sent and how much was sent. So right now I'm reading to you the New King James. Let me tell you something as we study the Bible. Don't study word for word. Look for the picture. The picture is God said don't do it. Then the picture got very detailed about if this happens, you can go. But let me read you the next. Verse 21, and I'm going to read you G, but just in a second. Verse 22 said, then God's anger was aroused because he went. So something was wrong. Now understand, the Bible is still a translation, and sometimes we have to look for that picture. So when I go to 22 and I see that it was wrong that he went, then I also have to go back up to 21 and say, uh-oh, something's wrong. He didn't follow. Here's what I would tell you. If he would have followed God's instructions, they would not have called him. They would have left and he'd still been sleeping there. He wouldn't have gone. Now let me tell you something else. And this is the most common thing that happens. And once again, let's refer back to some of the prophetic things we've seen in the past. The most common thing that happens is I hear God through what I want. That's the most common thing that happens in our lives. What really happened? Do you think God really changed his don't do it to you can do it? Well, in Balaam's ears, Balaam heard, don't do it, and the second time, go ahead and do it. The third thing we see here, God's mad. Now, come on. Let's get honest with ourselves. I want us to go slow enough at this that we put ourselves in this picture. Now, some of us that have been in this church a number of years have seen prophets come and go, things come and go, where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt they heard what they wanted to hear. They didn't hear from God. Now let's get down honest with ourselves. Many times we've heard what we thought was God, and yet it was filtered with what we want. Rather than being totally honest, totally open, totally naked, not having any hidden things in our pockets as we walk into the presence of God, and we hear according to where we are, where we're honest, or where we have wants greater than the need to hear. This is not an attack on anything or anybody. This is just honest fact. That's when God spoke to me about this morning, he spoke to me first. So I'm not on anybody's case. I even talked to Connie a little bit about some of the hearing. I want to make sure that our hearing gets correct. I don't care what kind of pain I have. I don't care what kind of debt I have. I don't care what kind of want I have. I don't care what a temptation is in front of me. I want to hear what God is saying. I want to hear him the first time. I want to hear him accurate, so accurate that I'm confident that I won't have to hear him a second time. Now, one thing else that I'm going to bring up to you. Did not God say, don't curse those people because I have blessed them? Then why would we, or Balaam, or us, or anybody else, think that he might change and say, all right, now you can curse them? If he got this money, if he got these riches, what was he going to have to do to get them? He was going to have to curse them, right? Curse what God had blessed. So he should have never considered that God would have changed his mind. Unless this trip was to minister to the people that came. Then he should have never gotten excited about it because he knew he's going to get in trouble. If God puts you in a position where you are to change somebody, this is work. You're not going to earn the gold. You're going to earn a kick in the you know what. The gold's got to come from somewhere else. Y'all aren't lost, are you? All right, G. Balaam was so wanting to hear God change for the money's sake that he helped him out. He didn't wait for someone to come or call. There was no new information. Nothing had changed. Why did Balaam hear differently? The little plaque in my office that I touched again today, looked at it, or yesterday, says this. What part of thou shalt not did you not understand? Today, same-sex marriage. Is that involved in the Ten Commandments at all? Do you think that when God said, I made Adam and Eve, he bent that rule for the 2006 American population?
No.
When he eliminated Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three cities that went down with them because of homosexuality, do you think that was for then and for now 2006 is different? Do you think it's because your child or your neighbor or your somebody you know, your acquaintance, because they are gay, it's different now?
No.
Or do you think hell is hell and it's made for those that intend to spit in God's face?
Yes.
Why I mentioned that is this. When God speaks to you, you shalt not, or you will. If Harry asks tomorrow if I'm supposed to buy a new car and God says, buy it, then that's the answer until you do it. If he says, don't do it, that's the answer until he says, do it. You don't go to him every day and say, like some wives do sometimes when they want something, or some children do when they want something, I'm going to ask you every 5 minutes till you change your mind. In my house, my children, my wife know that the more you ask me, the more the answer's the same. And it gets just a little more indignant and a little louder. The other day I asked Connie, I said, do you want to try to out-shout me? Why? She wasn't arguing with me, not consciously, but she was without thinking about it. This is the way God is. He is not going to out-shout you. He's just going to stand firm. We're not going to change his mind by nagging, complaining, whining, please, 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 or, by the way, praising. If we walk into his courts with praise to manipulate, we are practicing witchcraft, which is the opposite of praise.
Right.
We are not children wanting to obey the father. We're not the bride wanting to obey the husband. We are the manipulator, which is the witch that walks in to change things.
Right.
I'm going to shake my magic wand of pleasing you with my whatever it is I think I got. 22, then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, but Balaam didn't, standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. The angel had the drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. I wonder why they called her. Anyway. No pun intended, right? He got off and struck that donkey because he didn't run into the buzzsaw. Let me give you H. We need to be sure that listening and hearing causes us to see better. I'm promising you this. If you are intent on hearing, your eyesight will get better. You'll see things that are real instead of your way. Sometimes animals even see better than us. Because we're so busy. Verse 24. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. A little slow on the uptake. He didn't even bother to say, what's going on? Donkey, you've never done this before. Do I need to be hearing? How do you understand? I've said to you over and over, even jackasses speak. I've told you I've been ministered through red ants, Johnson grass. I'm telling you the world is proclaiming the truth of God. All we need to do is change our way of hearing. It comes through many sources. We get hurt when we do not listen. Salvation comes from hearing and obeying. We get hurt when we do not listen. Are you telling me, Stan, the last time I had a problem, it was because I didn't listen? Yes. Well, I guess that you're saying that about yourself, too. Yes. So the last time I was without money, it was because I wasn't listening? Yes. You mean the last time I got sick is because I wasn't listening? Yes. You told me a while ago that you believed that when the enemy was coming, if I'd been listening, God would tell me, right? You said that. So that means any weapon that's formed against you, God wants you to know about it before it gets there. Therefore, if it gets on me, it's because I wasn't listening. Let's don't get guilty about this. Let's don't get defensive about this. It's just let's repent and get on with it. Let's say, God, I'm sorry I haven't been listening. I'm going to do better. And then do better. And watch our lives get better. Y'all are still resisting this, I can see. I'm telling you the truth. Don't resist the truth.
Amen.
If you think you're always right, then you're always wrong. Verse 26. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or the left. Now, do we serve a good God?
Amen.
This man was intent on sinning, doing what God told him not to do. And God's working hard to keep him from doing it. Two reasons. One, to protect Balaam. Two, to protect those people he blessed. Or let me say it another way. God is not going to have people that he blesses cursed. Are you blessed? Okay. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. This is funny. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Now, I remember one time when Desiree had that little young stud, and he got real ornery with Desiree, and I went up and slugged that horse and knocked him out. He's hit this donkey twice. Didn't knock the donkey out. Now he picks up a stick and hits him. Her, sorry. I'd never noticed it was her before. I always thought the orneriest was him. Maybe I was wrong. This is not ornery. This donkey's obeying God. No, this donkey's fearing God. Jay, we never win by fighting the messenger, no matter what the messenger. I'm telling you a word from the Lord this morning. You are not going to win resisting it, no matter what the messenger is or looks like. I guess the point being is that you don't have to be the prettiest or the smartest to be a messenger from God. Okay. Verse 28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. What? And she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Now, come on. Let's hit a donkey. Let's all get in the picture and let's hit the donkey. Donkey belongs to me. It's going to do what I tell it to do or I'll beat you to death right here. And the donkey opens his mouth and says, "Why'd you hit me three times?" Come on, let's get in the picture. Let's give it the thing. Balaam's donkey just said, "Why have you hit me three times?" Since God couldn't get to him, he spoke through a donkey. I'll bet you he heard the donkey. What? No, nobody's looking. You know what I'm saying. You stand there in amazement. And Balaam said to the donkey, which is already questionable, now he's going to have a conversation with the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." This guy's a brain, isn't he? God tells you don't do it. The donkey says, "We're not going to do it." And he wants to kill the donkey. I'd still be in amazement that the donkey was speaking. I wouldn't think about saying I'm fixing to kill you because I'd be afraid of what it'd say. So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours to this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No, but I'd still kill you." He didn't say that. That last part was mine because I know people's attitude. No? All right, it's okay. When we hear with selfishness, even asses have more reason than us. Is that plain enough? When we hear with a selfish hearing, even asses are smarter than us. They hear better. I'll say it again. They hear better than we do. Now, come on. That should cause a little conviction to come on us. That an animal might be capable of hearing better than us. I am better than an animal. There's not an animal on the face of this earth that I wasn't made smarter than, better than, and have dominion over. And I'll not allow them to hear better than me. I'm going to push them out of the way with my intent on hearing. I want to hear what God says. I don't want to have a jackass break my foot and set on me and then speak to me before I hear. That's a little bit of an extreme. 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. To what? You remember the angel? Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Now I'm going to tell you what, if I were there and I'd have been this angel, here's what I would have told you. That donkey is hurt better than you. And you threatened to kill the donkey. I have a sword in my hand now. Are you ready to listen? Because if not, my people are not going to get cursed. I'll cut your head off. Come on. Let's get real. That's what we're seeing here. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me." You're a pervert. Whoa. Whoa. Now, what did I tell you about Balaam to begin with? Was he kind of walking both sides of the fence? That's a pervert. That's an AC/DC. That's a homo. That's a spiritual homosexual to walk both sides of the fence. You either love God or you love the enemy, but you can't do both. That's spiritual homosexuality. That's why the angel said, "Your thoughts are perverse. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now. Let her live." Do you want to hear God speak nice or mean? Listen to him the first time. Listen to him the first time. You won't have to hear what would have happened if you'd have done it one more time. Let me say it another way so we understand. The explanation from God through the angel of the Lord was, if that donkey hadn't have stopped you, I would have. And he had a threat in his eye and a sword in his hand. And any messenger that comes from God, he's serious. He's not threatening. He's promising. Listen to what happened. 34, and Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I have sinned. For I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." You double moron, you. You double dumb. I'm sitting here threatening to kill you if you take one step further, and you to ask me, if it's all right, I'll turn around and go back. Now listen, the important part of this, and this is where you and I get into this story the most serious. I have sinned. Why? For hitting a donkey? It's his donkey. He can hit him, he can kill him, he can do anything he wants to. The sin wasn't to hit the donkey. The sin was not to hear God. I have sinned. He could have eaten that donkey for dinner, and God wouldn't have been mad at him. But when you don't listen, God gets angry. Why? Because you just said it and you didn't obey it? No. You forget the big picture here. The big picture here, God had a job to do. Bless Balaam. Bless those people that were in Egypt. And he wasn't going to sacrifice the people of Egypt for the pleasure of Balaam. It's easier just to eliminate you and make another one like you. I have sinned. L. It was not sin to strike the donkey. It was sin to not listen to God. To not listen is sin and requires repentance. So what I'm trying to bring to the table this morning, and I hope you eat it like it's chocolate cake, we need to get busy repenting for not hearing good enough. When do we stop? When we hear good enough. That's not conviction. That's not condemnation. That's not guilt. That is truth. And it should bring life to us and not fear and not worry. When I got a hold of this thing this morning, I got excited. I've been getting more and more excited during the whole getting ready for this message. Because I believe that this is life to me. I hope you receive it as the same. M, to listen is to hear and see what God wants you to hear and see. In whatever way He wants you to hear and see. To not listen requires discomfort and strange tactics to change your direction. Now you said that God wasn't a respecter of persons. Didn't you agree with me on that? So don't get your foot crushed. Don't have a donkey set on you. Just listen. I don't know if you ever have an animal set on you, but it's uncomfortable. They got your attention. You're going to sit there and discuss things until they get up. And you don't want to kill him right at that moment because they're still on you. Here's what I'm telling you. Let's go back to the beginning. Luke chapter 19. I'm not going to go ahead and read all that. You got the picture. Right? You got the picture. The way out to stay out of trouble is listen. If you get into trouble, the way out is repent. Simple enough. And we need to get out of the repentance more and get into listening more so we won't be so much into repentance. What do you think? God wants us repenting all the time or listening all the time? That's where I want to be. I want to be honest with you today. I want to know what God wants. I don't want him to know what I want. Do you understand that the Bible says God knows your what before you even ask? Come on.
Your needs.
Why didn't he put wants in there? Well, I think if he knows your needs, he knows your wants too, right? I'm not ashamed of you having wants or me having wants, but he already knows about it. That's the point. So when you go to him, you already know he knows. You already know he's seen your needs and he's got a way out. So what you're going to him for, to listen, for what? The answer. The remedy. In Balaam's case, he got the answer, number one. He didn't listen to the answer, so he got the second answer, which is repent. For what? Not listening to the first. Of course, I know he's a child of God. He's blessed. I'm blessed in him. Blessed going out. And blah, blah, blah. I could curse the people. I'm still blessed. No, you're dead. Isn't that what it says? Said, if you had continued, I'd have surely killed you. Now, how many of you are willing to get on the first train to heaven? I'm not. Maybe you are. Praise God. But I'm not ready yet. I got some grandkids to play with. I got some things I still want to do. But I yield to the will of God. If my train comes, I'm getting on. But I don't ever want to volunteer for the first train to hell.
That's right.
That was his choice, was it not? You go on and I'll kill you. Do you think that was the first train to heaven? To disobey God and get yourself killed? No, that's not what you want. No. Come on, let's get down. Let's bring it down to reality. I want on the train to heaven. I'm going to stay there. And I'm on the train right now, in case you can't see that. But I don't want to be getting on and off to repent. On that way, on that will that we studied in Joseph, on that way that we've studied, I want to say, stop. I need to hear from you, God. I'm stopping. Because here's what strange thoughts we have. Sometimes we believe that you have to do wrong before you stop and listen to God. When in reality, if you want to do right, the only way is to stop and listen to God.
Amen.
We've said over and over, Nehemiah, the king said, what do you want, Nehemiah? Nehemiah said, got to go ask God. I don't even know what I want. That's where we need to be. If somebody says, what do you want, Stan? I need to be so astute, not the jackass. I need to be the one that says, wait, I've got to go ask God what I want. I don't even know what I want. It's all right for you to say that out loud. I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want. I haven't asked God at this particular moment what I want. So therefore, I don't know what I want. I'll go ask him what I want. And as soon as I find out what I want, I'll let you know. Because I don't want no donkey sitting on me. I don't want no big angel assigned to cut my head off if I go one step further. And I surely don't want a donkey seeing better than me. Luke chapter 19, verse 47. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. You have many things out there seeking to destroy you. And they could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Are we attentive on hearing him? Now, with this mind, I have already called myself to an extreme position of hearing. I want to hear from God. And I want to call you to the same place. I don't want to call you to repentance, which that's going to be the first step to hearing. But I want to call you to hearing. And I want God to do to us whatever it takes to hear what we need to hear, to grow out of where we are right now.
Amen.
We are to be content. Now what that means is peace. We're to be at great peace of where we are. Amen. And I'm at great peace right now. Are you in great peace? But I'm not satisfied. There's a difference. I'm not satisfied. I hunger and I thirst and I want to hear from God. And I want this church to be hungrier than me because there's something bigger than me. There's some people out there. There's some blessed people that need to be protected from me. There's some blessed people out there that need to be provided for by me. And I don't know the difference until God tells me the difference. And I need my wants and my wishes and my seeing and my hearing to be a little bit greater than what's inside of my four walls. My bank account doesn't need me to go to work. It needs to hear from God. My children don't need to get better. They need to hear from God. This church doesn't need to grow fantastically. It needs to hear from God. The rest will be taken care of. I don't care what business it is. I don't care what job you have. I don't care what it is. You need to think about what I'm saying. You don't need something to change in your life. You need to change. Most of us, and I've said this before, most of us think that if that one thing would change in my life, everything would be okay. And yet we don't name the thing properly. It's not, It's not the building business. It's not the home business. It's not a better job. It's not whatever you've got in your mind, if that thing would change everything. No. If I would learn to listen better, everything is going to be better eternally. Maybe those other things will just fall into place if I can learn to listen. Listen. I'm not going to talk my way into listening. I'm going to agree and work my way into listening. I want to know what God has for Connie and I. And I want to know what God has for the church. And I want to know what God has for this community. And I want to know how I fit. And I want to know what I'm supposed to say and do. What about you? Now, what about you? Will you commit to hearing? Everybody in here. Patrick, will you commit to hearing better? Better than talking, right? I want to hear. That's what I'm doing, the same thing. I'm the biggest talker in here in this place right now. You understand that? So I could be the biggest accused of talking. But I want to hear more than I talk. Here's what I desire. I desire, Harry, in the middle of our next conversation, that God stops the conversation. Like the donkey seeing the angel. And when God opens Balaam's eyes, sees that angel, I want us to be able to see here at the same moment. I've shared with you that time that I was talking with my dad, or he was talking to me. I don't remember which one. But right in the middle of that conversation, I said, stop. And he stopped, because when somebody does that, it's kind of strange. You'll stop. And I turned my back on my dad. And in the spirit, I heard and I spoke. And I did the strangest thing. I turned back to him and I said, now go ahead. He said, what'd you just do? And I said, the Lord showed me that my wife and children were going to be in a car accident. And so I came and cursed that car accident. And now they won't be. It messed up the conversation. That's what I want from God. I want it for you and I want it for me. I want that He has freedom to interrupt whatever game I'm in, whatever work I'm in, whatever conversation I'm in. And you say, amen? Stand with me. Will you make that commitment with me as an individual and as a corporate body called the church?
Yes.
Will you make that? If you will, raise your hand, would you? Make the commitment. Will you seek to hear from God?
Yes.
I'm not asking you to give anything. I'm asking you to give yourself to God. Seek to hear Him. Now, will you do one other thing? Will you do what He says, not ask the second time?
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm not trying to make a joke. I mean, do what He says. And don't hound Him. Don't be the nagging bride. Be the submissive bride. And just do what He said. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you serious about this?
Yes.
I promise you this. From what I can read in the Bible, then blessings come. You got blessings on the way. If you commit to hear. You know why I can open the Word and rightly divide the Word to you? Because the first commitment that I make when I open the Word is, what do you have for us today? Not, what do I need to look for? You understand me? I was talking to Bill about this Wednesday night. If you seek God for the people, He will answer you. And He'll answer you for you and the people. If you seek for you, He'll answer for you. Oh, what a selfish place. I have nothing to offer anybody. I want to be useful in the kingdom of God until I just am not here anymore. Whatever case that be. I want to have something to give to you, Bill, when I'm 145. And if I can't, then I don't want to be 145. I want God to talk to me, and I don't need to be hard of hearing. So age is not going to make me hard of hearing. Not the Word of God. Not at all. We have so much to look forward to in the promises of God. And I've given you, well, you know it or not, I've given you one of the biggest there is right now today. You listen for God. Do you think He's hard of hearing? Do you think He has a speech impediment? Do you think He's a ratchet jaw? So He's going to talk to you. He's going to hear you. He's going to answer you. And He's going to be succinct. And His words to you will fill you. Even if He says, don't do it. Now you're full of His Word. Now you can base your life on His Word. Even if it's don't. If God tells me don't commit adultery, then my life is full because I will not commit adultery.
Right.
I'm not going to look at it like, you mean I got to put up with her all of my life? No, you know what God does to my eyes? He makes her the only thing that's tasty. It's just that simple. He doesn't just give me word. He fills me with word. You too?
Yeah.
Richard, you too? You're filled with word? You just brought some to us this morning, right? You're not ashamed of the word, are you? You're going to get some more, aren't you? You know why? I want Richard to get bold. I want everybody in here to get bold in your decision. If your decision is for God, be bold in that. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, you wimp. No, they're the wimp. They can't stand for anything. It takes a man. It takes a strong woman to stand for something. Connie stood up here. She said, I'll school anybody in here. You didn't ask her. She might play basketball. I don't know. She got a couple of years on you. But you know what you have? Mileage. Don't let anybody tell you that's bad. That's good stuff. According to the Bible, Harry, age is crowning glory. That means you have some wisdom that you can't get through youth. Hallelujah. I want to hear from God. I want to move with God. I want to do God's will. Amen? Y'all be seated just for 1 minute. I'm going to ask you to quit playing just for 1 minute. While you be seated so I can look at you in the eyes. I'm going to watch her. Never can tell what she might do. We are going, my wife and I are going to go back to Texas for a couple of weeks. And one of the things I want to do is seek God. God knew that when He gave me this message. Jesus was running with His people last Sunday, you remember? And He said, now y'all go on. I'm going to go back over here and talk to God for a while. I'll see you. I feel like that's what God, and the God is changing as we go. I thought today that I would tell you we'd be gone 2 months. I think God's changing that. And I don't care how He changes it. I'm going to say yes to God no matter what.
Yeah.
Rob has made his decision. He's going to move to Texas. He's going to go to my house down there. We're going to go down there and make it a home for him in the next, I don't know how long, but I know he's going to go down there. Here's what's going to happen, just so you'll know. He's going to bring the girls. It's not exactly what we made it. By the way, we made this commitment to God some time ago that long about the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, we were going to leave and we were going to seek God for a season, whatever that was. Not that He can't talk to me here. But I have some very, very, very fond memories of seeking God there. And in the meantime, Rob decided to get out of the military. We thought he'd come here. He made a decision to go down there. He's going to bring the girls. He's going to be down there 10 days on a vacation before he gets out of the military. I don't understand all that. I'm just giving you a report. Next time you see us, we'll have the girls, which will be a couple of weeks maybe. We're going to be instrumental in putting them in homeschool. We're going to get them established in the home. We're going to give them a home. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to give them a stable home now. Stop jumping around, moving around, never know what's going to happen next. They're going to have a father. He's going to be there. We'll be back up here. Then we'll decide again what God wants us to do. I'm tired of looking too far forward, Harry. It just don't work. You can't tell God what He's going to do. You can make up your mind and He'll change it just to make sure He's still in control. We thought we had our minds set. We probably will spend the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays there. As I told you, I want to give them a home. I want to establish a home. A lot of work still needs to be done before that'll happen. Here's what I'm going to be like Jesus, and I want to tell you this. We're going to be seeking God. You are a blessed people. We're not going to do anything to hurt you. You're not going to do anything to hurt us, right? As long as we're hearing God, we're going to do what God wants us to do. And my answer to you is, I don't know what that is yet, but I will. Have you got that same answer for me? You are our family. You are that. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You are our family. You are who we will depend on to be hearing from God and to pray for us. I'm going to trust God beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatever happens here in the next couple of weeks is going to be greater than if I'd be here because I'm going to be obeying God. Can you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
Then you won't have any negative thoughts about this, right? Right? Okay. Oh, yes, ma'am. God has set some people in this place that are good. Now, I don't know if they know it or not, but he knows it. Oh, we're not going to be too far. We're not going to be too far. I don't know what I know. How about that? I don't know what I know. But I do know this. This church, I hope, you may not believe this, but I hope it grows in the next few weeks. I hope it grows greatly. Because that will mean that you're hearing and we're hearing and everything's okay.
Yeah.
And God's moving. Now, I will say to the advisory board, it's on your shoulders. Of course, you know the phone works. Everybody here knows the phone works. In case you don't know, I know it works. Here's our, get that off of there. Four phones that we will carry. You can get us. Okay? You can get us. We have not done anything to try to alienate or isolate. We want to make sure that everything's cool. You guys need to pray beyond me and beyond you. We have a mission. One is to see God. Two is to establish a home for two little girls that are going through something that they didn't deserve. We're going to try to help make it right. While God's doing his other good things, while he's drawing back and correcting, if God can be faithful to Balaam, he can be faithful to every person you've ever met, and he will be. My daughter's going to find herself with a donkey sitting on her. I promise you that. And a big angel saying, you better turn around or I'm going to kill you. And I don't know anybody that wants to die. So I know what the next step would be. Y'all agree with me on that?
Yeah.
Right? All right. What else do I need to say? We will probably leave in the morning because he's supposed to be down there Tuesday. Hopefully we can beat him there because he does not have a key. What else? No, not 2 months. We'll be gone 10 days to 2 weeks. And the reason I'm being a little evasive because I have a hard time keeping up with him. Knowing he's supposed to be down there 10 days on leave. During those 10 days, we're going to establish the home. And rather than him leaving again, which has been the military track record, he's going to leave, but I got a feeling that's what we should do is pack them up and take them like a little vacation with them. We'll come back up here. How long that is, I don't know. I said my goal, initially my goal was that we would leave about here this time. Actually, it wasn't. Our goal was to leave later than this and stay 2 months. Now that's changed. He's getting out earlier. We're going to leave. We're going to come back. We're going to be here a little while. Then we'll go back probably around Thanksgiving and Christmas. So about a month right in there. Jason is supposed to be down there at Christmas, not Thanksgiving. And, in reality, if we had to leave and go to Thanksgiving, leave and go to Christmas, we'd still be gone 2 weeks, even if we went to Alabama or Kentucky or whatever. So it's really not as long as you think, but I want it to be. I don't know how else to tell you this, Harry and all of you. I want it to be what God wants. And I want you to believe that. I want you to believe that more than anything else, that I want it to be what God wants. Because, yes, Rob needs help. If we can get Rob to get him a job, get established, that'll help. If we can give him a break during that time, that'll help. I got to tell you, the reason we're confused is because if everything came about like we see it right now on the business plate, we'd have $1.5 million worth of business to do next year here, and quickly. So we don't know what God wants. If you think that I know what I want, you're mistaken. I want God. I want what he wants. And I have not even the ability right now to tell you what that is. Now, I can tell you what I want. I want the church to grow. I want it to grow right out of this building. I want us to move on. I want us to reach community, get larger, larger, larger. I want that. God knows that. You don't really think I want us to stay little. So some of these things we don't even need to say. I don't want to make another trip to Texas. I'm getting tired of that. But I can also tell you, by the hand of God, we just got a $500 a month increase in our non-earned income. Isn't that right? The oil check. One company, one oil check went up $500 a month. Why? You looking at a dummy. I don't know nothing. I just want to know God. I wish that everybody in this place would hear God so much that he blesses your socks off, delivers you from the hand of any enemy, and sticks money in your pocket and health in your belly. And you realize, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that when you listen, you're blessed. And then watch this church grow. You know what could happen to this church spiritually if the listening part was fine-tuned? To where we could just look at somebody and see where they're friend or foe? To where no matter what, we were alert God explained some things to us before we even showed up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever. Before we went to work, God would explain to us. Bob's been going up to work. They hand him $20 tips, $50 tips, $100 tips. They say, how come? He said, I have favor. That means I'm a dummy. I don't know why. I just walked this way. Right? That's where we need to be, giving him praise in all things. So we're going to start off this trip with praise. We're going to say, thank you, Lord, for I don't know what, but I thank you anyway. When you have people come in here and we're not here, you're going to say, thank you, Lord, for we don't know what, but thank you. And whoever has the service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you're going to start thanking God for a good service, for a good word, no matter what. Because either God's going to give it to you, and you're going to be able to deliver it, or God's going to give it to somebody else, and you're going to be able to receive it. Amen?
Yeah.
Now we just started that. Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday night at 7:30. And the format being that one speaker speaks on Sunday with not much interference. Sunday night, we open it up a little more. And Wednesday night, we kind of just say, who's got a word? And it may be one, it may be two, it may be three. But this church, I proclaimed it a long time ago to be a minister to ministers. And how in the world is that ever going to happen if this boy don't disappear once in a while? You understand what I'm saying? Like I said, this is the family. This is the family. I go down there, I have name family. But I can't even get along with them. So I pray to God that will change, too. That's not natural. That needs to change. But, Bill, I know you don't have gastric problems, so there must be something you need to say. Absolutely.
Our righteous man steps ordered by the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think everybody here, and myself included, has been just a little bit selfish. You know, we hate to see him go, yet we know that God's got plans and things. But sitting here this morning, I felt God say, we need to send him.
That's good.
No, you missed it.
Yes.
I said, I believe God wants us to send them on his mission.
Amen.
You know, Bill, we went down there, and I was supposed to accomplish something last time I shared that, and it didn't happen, and maybe that's the reason it didn't happen.
You know, one of the things I think, and I've heard the little whispers, and I'm not going to tell you that I haven't been just a little bit of a part of it, wondering what's going on. You know, are they coming back? I have no doubt. You know why? Because I heard this man say the first time I ever met him, when God tells you to do something and you don't fulfill that, you'll never hear another word from God. I'm behind this. I believe God wants to accomplish something. And you know what? It's not just about us. It's about God's plan and God's will for others, even if it's just two little girls. Right?
Yeah.
And so we need to send them out.
Amen.
We need to not be so greedy and selfish anymore. We need to send them out and know that God's accomplishing things. He's going to do it. Maybe one of us one of these days. Amen? There's no question these people are loved. But it's not about us. It's about the kingdom. So as a church, as this body where they've been set, we need to rally around them right now and send them out under the anointing, the call, and the mission of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Yeah.
We thank you for all the gifts that you've placed here. And specifically right now, we thank you for Stan and for Connie. And we send out your messengers right now, Lord. Your messengers of peace and of love and reconciliation, yes. And Lord, I ask that you would part the waters before them, that what is seen as obstacles would fall away. That what has always been a problem would be nothing. And that what looks to be an uphill battle would be a stand still and see the salvation of the Lord battle.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you that we have to give, that we have someone, that we have something to give to this situation.
Yes.
And we do. We send them out, knowing that we will lack nothing in their absence.
Yes.
Because
Amen.
We will lack
Amen.
No part of your spirit, of your provision and your protection and your love. We know, we have confidence, Lord, that you dwell not only in Stan and Connie, but but in each and
yes.
every one of us. And that we are all ministers of grace. And that each of us has the greatness of God within us.
Yeah.
That is just waiting for us to stop and listen and hear what it is that we have to give to others. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for that.
Praise you, Lord. Father, right now, as one called to this place, also, Lord, the mantle you placed on me, Lord, right now, I say, Lord, we send them out with your anointing, with your blessing, on your mission to accomplish your will, whatever that may be, over and above what we've already discussed, Lord. We trust you that their steps are ordered, that you will reveal to them, Lord, that you will minister to them, and you will minister to the others that they go to minister to now. We send them in love. We thank you, Lord, that they go in peace. They go with protection. They go with blessing, with our prayers, Lord, and with your sanction, Lord. This is your desire and your will. So we, in obedience and in compliance with that, come in line with that right now. And we send them out, Lord, with all of our love, Lord, not only for them, but for the girls, for Rob, for Jason, for the entire Settler family, Lord. We thank you. You're going to accomplish things everywhere, Lord. You're not limited to Denver and you're not limited to Texas. We thank you. You're going to accomplish things and it's going to be good things. You're going to cause growth in them, in their family. You're going to cause growth in us. We thank you for it, Lord. So we want to be a part of that, Lord. So we unselfishly release them to go and do your will, Lord. And we look forward to the testimony and the praise report that comes as a result of this.
Amen.
For the clarity you're going to give Rob. For the clarity that they have now and that they're even going to see even better, Lord, as they go. We thank you and praise you for it, Lord. And we do cover them, Lord, in prayer, in thoughts. And we do it all for your kingdom and your honor and glory according to your plan and will. In Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for that. Let me say one other thing. Yes. Well, Richard, be blessed, okay? In your pocketbook, be blessed. 100-fold. Yes, sir. Okay? Amen. And I receive that as a blessing. You have just as much right to bless me as I do you.
Yes. Right.
And I appreciate it. I receive it. You, now, amen. And Art, you're part of this family. You were part of my family the minute you walked in this place, whether you realize it or not. You're a weird egg. Unlike me. And God's doing something in your life. He's going to continue to do something. And you're going to love every step of the way. Our goal, even though we'll be back before then, we'll probably be back down there for Thanksgiving, but not too much before. Say that's about right? We don't know. We're trying to predict something. But I'd dearly love for any or all of you to come at Thanksgiving. You may sleep on the floor somewhere, but that's okay. The air conditioners work. The heater works. We won't need the heater. It is. We got to end up killing a bunch of hogs because they're tearing the place up. It is. And I think Rob's going to bring me an AR-15 and about 1,000 rounds. And so... The last time I went down there, which was recently, I went down there to mow the yard. The hog, you ever seen a hog root up a yard? Well, fortunately, it was on the outside of the fence because they can't get in. But outside where the grass was about this tall, they'd root it up where you couldn't mow. Just tearing the place up. These are javelina hogs, wild. I mean, you don't want them around. And I didn't tell you this, but we went riding the ATVs that one evening before we came back and saw a buzzard circling and went over there in the field just right near the house. And there was a hog, Harry, that would have, a boar, that would have stood about this long and about from here to Connie, which is a huge javelina. I don't know what had killed it. Maybe another javelina because it hadn't been shot. But anyway, I could have a little fun while I was down there. I've never had hogs like that. I'll tell you how bad they got is a few years back, they got so bad they were killing crops that the farmers got together and rented a helicopter and killed 600 of them in one afternoon. So... That's why generally when you're speaking about swine, you're not talking about something that's admirable. In the Bible, I'm talking about. You're welcome to make plans to come. By that time, the boat will have its motor in it. We'll go fishing. I bet you I can take at least 20 of you at a time. It's a big boat. I know Connie doesn't want to go fishing, but we're on the phone. We wouldn't mind you calling and say, can we come? Don't wait for us to call you. I've just called you. So I'm like God. I'm not going to speak too many times. Hopefully. Isn't that something to say, I'm like God? There's nothing wrong with saying that, is there? The Bible says call those things that aren't, even if they're not, right? Call them as they are. So I'm going to say that in faith, if nothing else. Anything else need to be said? Thank you, Art. Thank you, Richard. Absolutely.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jasmine. I'm 16 years old. I go to Colorado Christian School, and 3 years ago, I became a Christian. But before that, I wasn't a Christian. I never cared about going to church or about God or about Jesus. I never cared about any of that. But one day my mom, she said to me, she was like, one day God will bless you with all the blessings in your life. And one day I went to church, and I went up to the altar, and I just started crying because I realized I wanted to let God into my life.
Hallelujah.
And bless me. And it's just such a wonderful thing to let God into your life, because my life has been so blessed, and I'm just blessed to have a loving mother who loves me very much and this loving sister, and I'm just blessed to have all the blessings I have. And I bless all the people who have let me into their life, and I'm just a blessed girl, and I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm a blessed girl. Good word. Just keep saying that, no matter what.
Amen.
Anyone else? Anything else? You don't have another joke, do you, Ari? Oh. On that note. All righty. Sure. Don Quixote. Don Quixote. That's right. I need to say it correctly. Anything else? I will. But in the meantime, I want to remind you, and I want to impress you more than remind you, is that if God has a plan for our lives, and that's, it seems like we've been studying that for a long time, so he does. That's not an if. He does. Then one of the things that you as this body need to do right now is you need to take the loads that you haven't been carrying and put them on your shoulders. This church is not my church. This church is your church. And you need to treat it better than you would your own home, better than you would your own finances, better than you would its own people. You understand that? Because in here we deal with eternal life. Eternal life. And there will be people that God sends here that need to hear what God has put in you. And it's very difficult to walk in the assumption that I'm going to help somebody today. But if that's who God is and you're in him, that's what's going to happen. And then when we come together, that's amplified. It's amplified. And if I touch you, then I touch your children. And I touch your children's children. And so this is not a little make me feel good session. This is something that changes lives eternally. And let's just be in the position. What that means is take on the responsibility that God wants to use you. And you can't do that effectively unless you hear. Unless you set to hear. Somebody, if you're blessed, you're blessed with something that needs to be passed on. It's not about you. It's about what you can do for someone. That's what blessings from God they mean. I'm blessed too. But I happen to know that it's not, by the way, it's not any fun to be blessed with no friends. What does that mean? That means I don't want something that you don't have. So if I have something, I want to give it to you. That's who Jesus is. That's who the Father is. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's out to do the Father's business, which is God has got all this blessing and all this healing and all this word, and he wants to share it. And he has to pick us donkeys to do it. Okay? We're the donkeys because we volunteer. We see the angels. We see the call. Amen? You see the call? Then you got to fulfill the call. Even if you get beat up once in a while, you got to do what God asks. Amen? Have I missed anything? All right. Stand with me, and I'm going to bless you. Art actually has already quoted that from, and I'm going to take it from y'all to me, to us.
Amen.
So I'm going to give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Amen.
Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you and protect you. May the Lord prosper you and create health in you so strong that you overflow onto others. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of your listening. because of your presence. May he be gracious to you, show you his favor, give you his peace, and I receive that. Will you receive it in Jesus' name?
Yes.
All right, then say amen.
Amen.
All right, keep us in mind. We may leave this afternoon. We may leave in the morning. Depends on when we can get packed up. But we're going to be on the road.